Americans. It's time to grab your kids and gather around the internet for your weekly injection of truth. Prepare to have your world rocked with Steve Duplantis and rock the world!
Kind of out of it today. I haven't preached in, what, beginning of the month, last month? Yeah, so I'm like, but I've been working on what I'm going to start preaching on for the last month.
And you still forget it.
And I still, yeah, I forgot it in there. But I don't know if you saw the board when you walked in. It had the number 10 on there. Oh. That's not the 10, the movie back in the 70s or 80s with Bo Derek. I don't know if y'all remember that. All right, because when I was writing that, I was remembering it was a movie called 10. And but that's not what it refers to, okay? The 10. Look, he's pointing at you. Yeah, he's pointing at you, Leon. The 10. And what is the 10? I don't know if this is actually Hebrew or what, but this is Hollywood.
It looks like
Greek almost.
It looks like Hollywood Hebrew.
But 10, the 10 commandments. This is what I'm talking on this morning. Actually, not this morning, but for the next 10 weeks, we shall talk about the Ten Commandments and the importance of them. Okay, we have a lot of controversy, I guess, within the church. A lot of discussion that the law, the commandments have been nailed to the cross, and that Jesus took care of the law, and I'm not here to tell you that we are supposed to keep it or not keep it. I'm here to simply point out in Scripture what Scripture says and then let God speak to you on it. And that's the entire point of these next 10 weeks of learning about this and learning about the commandments. I'm going to start in John 14. If you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. Okay? And this is the point. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You also will live. And that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Okay, read number 21 for me. And what? He is who loves me. He it is who loves me. So he's telling himself, he's saying, you keep my commandments if you love me. If you keep my commandments, you love me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So it's pretty clear. And then it says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. See, here's kind of weird that this guy, Judas, the one who was the lawless one out of the 12, is going to question him on it, you know? And then, but the commandments, okay? So what are the commandments that Jesus is speaking of? Now, we know that it was asked of Jesus, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. These are the two. And I'm going to get this in a little bit. All the prophets, all the law hang on those two. This is what Jesus said. Okay. Matthew 5 and 17. Okay? Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Now, abolish and fulfill, that's two different terms. Abolish means done away with. We don't listen to it anymore. We don't have anything to do with it anymore. Fulfill means to complete, to do it, to actually do it. Okay, and we're going to make some things clear here as we head on and venture into this. But for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Okay, so nothing. Jesus is making it clear that the law will not pass away until everything's accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is it Jesus had said here? He did not come to abolish the commandments. Rather, he came to fulfill them. There's a big difference between those two words. And the last I looked, the earth is still here. So if the earth is still here, then the law is still in effect. And then look at what Jesus says about righteousness. He called out the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people. He called them out constantly. Called them hypocrites. He called them brood of vipers. He calls them righteous right here. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is the righteousness he's talking about? It's not the false righteousness. It's about the zeal to keep the law that they themselves made. See, the point is that the Pharisees and the rabbis and all of these people who take the law, the 10 that was up there, and interpret it the way that they want to interpret it. Because there is a portion of Jewish teaching. You have the Torah. That's the five books of the first five books of the Bible. The Torah. That's where the law. That's where the ten. That's where we do. Ever hear the 613 commandments of God? Have y'all ever heard of that? Before I go any further, there's actually 613 mitzvah. That's what the word is. It's laws. Okay. There's 613 of them. Of those 613, different rabbis, Jesus being one of them, interprets it the way that they interpret it. So along with the 613 was all these other editions called the Talmud. Okay, if you read the Talmud, there's different interpretations of what the law says. Have we heard for instance, on the Sabbath day in Israel, they don't allow work because the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. So they take that to the extreme. Don't work. So we're not going to work on Saturday. So we're not even going to start our vehicle because a vehicle causes a fire in the engine, which causes a spark, which causes the engine to go. And the fire is not supposed to be kindled. You're supposed to kindle it the day before. They really get into some intricate stuff here. All right. When you get in an elevator on the Sabbath day, on Shabbat in Israel, every button is pushed pre-programmed so you don't have to push the button because that's work. So they take it to the extreme. If you have to use the bathroom on Saturday, you pull the toilet paper off on Friday enough for you to use on Saturday because that's work. So you take it to the extreme is what it's done. This is what Jesus, whenever Jesus questions them on the traditions and the law, this is the stuff he's talking about. And this is the righteousness that he's talking about. That you're so zealous about keeping these traditions. You should be zealous about keeping the 10, the law. You should be that zealous about keeping the law of God. But that was the hypocrisy that he talked about, that of the Pharisees. So Jesus was giving his rabbinical interpretation of how the law went. And basically what Jesus was doing was putting the commandments back into the right perspective. God gave them at Mount Sinai to Moses. Where's the first picture? Can you put it up there? There it is. Look.
Yeah, Legos.
God gave the commandments to Moses. He gave him the two tablets. There's the next one. Not that one. He gave him the two tablets.
What?
Wow.
So God, he had the tablets, you know? And then he also gave him some manna from heaven, too. Show the next one. There. He got some manna coming down, even before the manna fell. So, but what I'm getting at, this is Charlton Heston. We don't have any original photographs of Moses actually coming down from Mount Sinai. But God gave Moses these Ten Commandments. Okay, he gave him these ten, these original ten. Can you put the ten up? I have a picture up there that's got the ten. Okay, here it is. Okay, here, and it's pretty interesting because these are Hebrew letters. These are the alpha, and Nick knows it better than me. But this is the all. Can you name them?
Aleph.
Vav. Okay, and each one of those has a numerical value. Okay, that's why it's like this. So the first one, let's read the first one. Adonai is simply Lord in Hebrew. Okay, so I am Adonai thy God. Number one. Number two, read with me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Three, you shall not take the name of Adonai thy God in vain. Four, remember to keep the Sabbath day holy.
Honor
your father and mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. 10, you shall not covet. That's just plain simple, covet. And I'm going to go to Matthew 26 and 36. Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? Put those scriptures back up. The commandments. Okay? The commandments are broken into two things. Here, you have the first five have to do with God. The second five have to do with man. Love the Lord your God, right here. Love man, right here. Love your neighbor. Okay, so it's right there. So this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying you have the two outlines. This is what you go by. If you want to know how to love God, read this. This is how you love God. If you want to know how to love your fellow man, this is how you love your fellow man. In a nutshell. Okay? The 613 go into intricate detail on these. This is what we're going to study the next 9 weeks after today, is that every commandment of the 613, each one of those 613 will fall under one of these 10. Each one of them will. Exodus 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested, the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox or his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Those are the Ten Commandments. Are they back up there? Okay, there they are again. And I want you to take note of the Hebrew letters. Okay? Of the Hebrew letters, I think I have the pictograph on there. Of the Hebrew letters, back in the day, there was a pictograph that went along with what these letters meant and what they represented. And Nick, help me along here as I go if I tend to get astray, okay? Because Nick he's taught a lot about me on he's done a lot of study on it. And if we look at the Aleph, okay? There's the Aleph. Oh. It's ox, strength, leader. So God made a statement in the first commandment. It wasn't a commandment that we should do something, but he's making a statement. It's a command. It's a statement. I am not me, but I am the Lord your God, okay? Strength, leader, okay, this is God. This is how God was represented, okay? Do we know the story of the golden calf? When Moses was getting the tablets of the commandments on Mount Sinai, the children of Israel got antsy, and they wanted to start worshiping, all right? So their view of God was a bull or an ox, so that was with the calf. They made this. So in essence, they were thinking of God. It wasn't like a totally new God that they were worshiping, but it was the idol itself is which caused the problem, because they thought that they were making an image of God. See the bull head? Mm-hmm. See? So this is what God is saying, okay? The bet. And this is... Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay, so this is a house or inn. So if you look at it, and this is just stuff that it's neither here nor there. I don't know if it's somebody's actually done a research on this, but it's cool to look at it and think, well, maybe this is what it meant, you know, is that why it's numbered this certain way. All right, the bet, all right, don't make have no other gods before me. You worship, all right? It has to do with your worship, a house, like a sanctuary. Okay, in other words, you have to be really careful of what you do in that sanctuary. Because there's and think of that here. Okay, because now that we have the Holy Spirit, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. So don't put yourself before me. Don't put other things before me, other idols. You know, it kind of upsets me when I think about churches today all around the country have closed their sanctuary off to worship but opened it up to a football game. And they're going to be worshiping idols, their football idols, inside the house of God. And that really, it upsets me. It does, you know, because this is like replacing God with the idols, you know, inside of your house. It's y'all may think differently on that and call me weird. I don't know, but that's just my own personal conviction on that. The Gimel. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay. The name of the Lord your God has to do with oaths, okay? Swearing. Don't put your pride in front. See, it's a pride. Your pride in front of things of God. The Dalit, Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Remember to keep the Sabbath day and holy. And then it says tent door, a pathway, like a door, an opening. There was a pattern that God did when he made the world. There was 6 days. There was a pathway that he took, and then at the end of it was the rest period. He commands us to rest. You know, he doesn't think we should work 24/7. There's got to be a command for rest. Honor your father and mother. Hey, all right. I mean, this is pretty much is how do you honor somebody is when you do that. So I mean, this is kind of, you know, a self-explanatory one there. The other ones are kind of, you're kind of pulling at stuff, and I know that, you know, but it's cool to think that. The Vav, which is the nail, the peg. Okay, Nick, do you have your shirt on this morning? No, you don't have it? He made a shirt with the Vav, and it's got the hand of Jesus with the nail in it, and it looks like the Vav. And if you look back here, if you can see on what he's, the Vav is actually right here. Can you see it?
Yeah.
That's the Vav. And it's a nail peg. And we think of when the nail peg was drawn into Jesus' hand, basically was what killed him. The nails would be hung into the cross. So thou shalt not murder. Don't, you know, it coincides. This one, don't have adultery. All right, number 6. Did not commit adultery. Plow, weapon, cut off. Don't relationship. The cut off. If you have adultery with your wife or your husband, you're cutting off that relationship. You're cutting it off. Don't steal. There's a wall of separation. This is the stuff that God has given me to steward, and you make a boundary around you. Don't cross that boundary. It's somebody else's. It's not yours. Don't take it. Okay. Don't bear false witness. Lies, basket, snake. This is what this reminds me of. Snake with the lies. Don't lie. The lies can weave in and out one another like a basket, and when they weave in and out one another, you really can't determine which is the truth and which isn't the truth, because it's all interwoven. And thou shalt not covet an arm or hand, work or deed. Don't keep your hands off of other people's stuff. All right? Don't touch other people's stuff. Don't have nothing to do with it, because it's not yours. God gave it to them. Okay? So the Ten Commandments divided into two categories. All right, this is interesting. The pictograph stuff is interesting. Divided into two categories. Okay, the first category, God gives us the requirements he demands of us. Okay, so I am Adonai, I'm the Lord your God. He's making a declaration on who he is. The strength, how the pictograph determines the strength, that this is God, I am God. So in other words, I am God, so whatever I say from here on out, you better listen to, because I am God. So he's making that declaration, and then thou shalt have no other gods before me. God's, that's pretty simple. Don't worship anything else other than God. Don't put anything before him. And that includes anything that would replace our time with him. Think of things that you do that you could be worshiping God or studying his word or doing something, witnessing for him, but rather you do that. That replaces him. God's a jealous God. He says that a lot of times in the Bible. So he's a jealous God. He wants relationship with you. No other gods before me. Are any of us guilty of replacing God with other things? Yeah. And it could be, you know, books, it could be television, it could be anything. You know, but when it comes to a point where your time is being taken and not given to him, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. God is not telling us does not take his name lightly. Don't make an oath to him or others and swear by his name and not keep it. All right? I know a lot of people get offended when they hear the GD word, you know, but that's not what he's talking about here. Because God really isn't God's name. Think about it. It's not. It's actually, God is a generic term for a God. It's just, if you got a capital, you call it God, like, and this is God. That's not his name. His name, do you have his name up there? It's
Yahweh.
Yahweh. Have you ever seen the YHWH? YHWH, I'm sorry. That's his actual name. But we don't know how to pronounce it because Jewish people are so, like I said about the traditions and the laws I was talking about earlier, about the traditions that they put on different things, that they will, if they spell God's name, they'll leave the O out and put a dash because they don't want to misspell his name out of fear for disobeying this commandment. That's when I talk about the righteousness. When Jesus talked, that's the righteousness he's talking about, where you're that zealous about disobeying God's commands. So it has to do with making an oath. Who's ever been in a court? They don't do this anymore, but they used to back in the day. They brought a Bible out, and you'd put your right hand on your heart, left hand on the Bible, and you say, I swear to God to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. So that's an oath. That's a swearing. If you took that stand and lied, that's a direct disobeyment of this commandment. Now, if you go outside and say, GD, blah, that's not. I admit it's vulgar, and I don't like saying it. But it's not, it doesn't affect this command. It has to do with oaths and swearing to God and swearing by his name. There was, oh man, help me out who it was in the Bible where a guy was asking, I have to look it up. He was asking God to do something, and he said, the first thing that comes out of my house you can have.
Oh, yeah.
And it was his daughter. Mm-hmm. And it was like, then his daughter's life was, but he made an oath. He had to keep it, and he didn't disobey the commandment. You know, so you have to be careful when you do stuff like that. So he's serious about this stuff. He's not nonchalant, because there's a reason why he gave these. There's a reason why. Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, all right? Let's kind of pick on this one, all right? Remember, the Hebrew word is zachar, meaning to remember. The English definition to remember is to have or keep an image or idea in your mind, something or someone of the past to think of, okay? Remember, okay, to keep it holy. To keep it holy, the Sabbath. Sabbath literally means cease and desist. That's what Sabbath means. The literal meaning is to cease and desist. Okay? Keep it holy. The Sabbath day, kadosh, is to separate. So that means you keep a separate day to cease and desist your work. Okay? We, as a family, have been trying to keep the Sabbath. We don't start at sundown and light candles and do all these chants and stuff. We take from sundown to sundown, and this is Friday night to Saturday evening, Friday evening to Saturday evening, and we try not to do work. We just chill. If she wants to sleep all day, if the kids, whatever they want to do is fine. However, we understand, as Jesus said, that sometimes work, being pastors and being different, working different places, you have to work on those days, all right? So if you do, if your shift work happens to fall on Sabbath, then take your Sabbath on Tuesday, you know, or Wednesday, or whatever it is. You have to take a day of rest. This is a commandment of God. Remember to keep your cease and desist day holy, separated. In other words, you do this. He doesn't say, come to church and worship me on that day. That's not at all what he's saying. He's just saying to keep it separate because you need some rest. I made you. I know that your body needs rest. If you keep working and working and working and working, you're gonna burn yourself out. You know? America's taken it to a different extreme, and now we got 2 days off. Pretty much every other place in the world only has 1 day off a week. They work 6 days a week. You know? We just had the Japanese missionary here last week. And how the kids, they go to school. Every day they go to school. There is no Sabbath over there. And it's no wonder they, you know. I don't know. So we hear, you know, different things. And, of course, the Hebrew word for day is yom, meaning a 24-hour period. So God is telling you to take a 24-hour period and rest. Simple. If you have to press a button on an elevator, that's not work. It takes more work to walk into the elevator than it does to lift your hand and press the button. So think about it. All right? Number five, honor your father and mother. This must be important to God to have put this commandment in here. It has to do with family relations, chain of command, respect. He put it on this side, though. See? And as we go further, you can understand why he put it over here. Because it has to do with the honoring, your chain of command, the father and mother. How many people here that their image of God is dependent on their earthly father? Okay? When I first came to the Lord, I had because since that was my image of a father, and this is my father in heaven, then here's what God must be like. And it took some belief changes that God is not like my earthly father. I am nothing like God. I'm supposed to be, but ask my kids as growing up if at times I was anything but godly. All right? Because I just being transparent and honest with you. So hopefully that their image of me, at least I displayed enough God in me where they could have that relationship with God and view God as how a daddy should be. My dad wasn't like that. I don't know about your dad. I don't know other dads in here, you know. God's not an alcoholic. I can tell you that much. You know, people who had, he's not abusive, he doesn't beat you, he doesn't do all this other stuff. But a lot of people get that view in our culture that this is what God is like. If my dad was like this, then this is what Heavenly Father's like. No, that's not the case. This is what, there's a thing, even though your father and mother may treat you like crap, there's still a blessing in honoring them. Because he says, and you will live long in the land I have given you. If you honor your father and mother. And that's one thing I made sure to do with my parents is honor them. Even before I came to the Lord. Because they are my parents. If it wasn't for them, then I wouldn't be here right now. You have to honor that. Even if he was my dad wasn't a jerk. But if he was a jerk and he beat me and he, you know, molested me and did all this other stuff. He's still my dad. Even though he's not worthy of honor, God still says I have to honor him. Which is his demand of us, of these things, that you shall not have other gods before me. I am God. Honor me. Worship me. Praise me. So that's why this is put here. Okay, these are the ones that have to do with God. And then man, you shall not murder. Interesting on this one. The word in Hebrew is ratsach, if I pronounce that right. I don't know if I did or not, but it means to slay, to murder, premeditated, avenge. That's the key. It's premeditated. It's avenged. A murder out of revenge. If you're in war and you kill somebody, this is not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Killing is not the same thing as murder. We kill animals to eat them. Now, if you kill an animal just to kill it because you think it's fun, you got a problem. All right? the heart determines what murder is. What's going on inside of here? Why are you killing? You know, are you killing in defense? Are you killing because your country's at war? Are you killing because somebody's trying to grab your wife and do ungodly things to her? You know, because you have to be careful, because that could reach a point where it could turn into revenge. So you have to be careful of that. All right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Hebrew word is na'af. The scripture designates sexual intercourse of a man, whether married or unmarried, with a married woman. All right, this is how scripture defines it. All right, and this doesn't give homosexuals free rein on having sex with one another, because it just defines that. Well, since it doesn't say man or man, then I can go ahead and have sex with a man. No, that's not what it says, okay? A married man or unmarried man having sex outside of marriage is adultery. Anything that falls under it. And there is a whole slew of those 613 laws that have to do with sexual stuff that would fall up under here. That might take 2 weeks in itself, going over that stuff. You know, but God's specific about sexual immorality. He's specific about it. He doesn't like it. And he doesn't want us engaging in it. You shall not steal. Ganav in Hebrew. Don't steal anything. That's plain and simple. Don't steal. I don't care if it's a pencil or a penny or whatever it is. Don't steal it. Anybody ever watched Ray Comfort? Anybody ever steal anything? Your hands go up? Yeah. We're all guilty. We've all broken these. We all have. You know, every one of them, we've broken. Maybe one or two you didn't. I don't know. But I know I've broken every one. And then as we go further, we'll see how Jesus expounded on them in his own teaching, in the Sermon on the Mount. How each one of those ones, when he talked about murder, when he talked about adultery, he talked about oaths. He talked about certain things where he expounded and said you've heard it said there that an eye for an eye, but I'm here to tell you that basically not to do that anymore. It falls under one of these categories. It falls. Every one of those things he talked about in the Sermon on the Mount came from these 10, the original 10. Don't bear false witness. That means don't lie. Don't lie. Don't covet. Chamad, I think that was it, chamad. In Hebrew, do not desire that which is not yours. Desiring after something leads you to steal or worse. Be happy with what God's given you. So, coveting leads you to want. Leads you to want something that you don't have. So, and if you don't have the means to get it, people will take it. That's our nature, because we're a fallen people. We are a wretched people that are in, and you may disagree with me on this, that's okay, but this is what I believe on, is that we're not good. We're not good. We are wretched. We have the propensity to do evil. That's what we want to do. Everything we want to do is against God. Paul even says that our flesh wants to do everything that's against God, and we have to tame it, have to beat it into submission. And if we don't, then we will go down that wide path that leads to destruction. All right, this is the simple form of the commandments, the simplest form. This is how God gave them to, and then God gave Moses even more direction as they went, and then he gave him the rest of the 613 commandments that fall up under these. We must remember that God did not give a set of commandments to Israel and then a set to the Gentile. That is a teaching that's out there also, where these rules don't have to apply to us anymore. That's, you know, We're Gentiles. If you're Gentile, you don't have to follow these rules. But that's not what the Bible says, because the Bible speaks of the alien living among you, in, I believe it's Deuteronomy, that they're to follow him. And then in Galatians 3:28, there is no Jew or Gentile, slave nor free, male or female. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And then in Romans, we talk about being grafted in. Okay, so my intention for the next 9 weeks now is to, and hopefully this is the direction it'll go. And I pray that your hearts and your minds are open to it. That as you study, as we study the laws of God, the different 613 ones that he's given, that they're really no different from what we already do as followers of Christ. But yet we're so adamant on saying that we don't have to follow him anymore. And you'll be surprised how many of them you follow automatically. And do you know why you do that? Because it's now written on our hearts. Once we accept Christ, that law gets written on our hearts. And people will fight it, but dude, you got to look at it. You're already doing it. It's nothing that you can, I cannot sit up here and say, okay, this is how we're going to check off. I'm following this today, and then I haven't sinned because I've followed each one of these laws. And I make it a point, just like the righteousness of the Pharisees, following the laws, following the traditions, thinking that they do it out of ritual and not out of love. That's the difference. That's what Jesus came back to do. He didn't come back to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it, to basically show us that it can be done and that you're already doing it anyway, but you've added all this other stuff onto it. That is what makes it impossible. God's law in its simplest form is it's actually, the Bible says it's a joy to keep. It's freedom. There's freedom in keeping these things. That's what Paul talks about, the freedom. There's a freedom in keeping God's commandments. And this is something we already do. That the argument should stop. No more arguments about it, because I'm going to point out to you what you're doing in God's law, and that you're already keeping the law. And this should be an exciting time, because we the holy entire Psalm 119, the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, has to do with this. Every verse in there has to do with the law and how much of a joy it is to follow it. So are y'all ready to embark on this and kind of look at it? Can we get excited about it? Because this is God's word, man. You know, and I'm excited because God's put this on my, you know, a couple of months ago, he put it on my heart to teach on it and to list how each one falls under these categories. You know, and then, you know, sure, there are some laws I don't care. I'm not a farmer. I can't do agricultural laws. You know, but there are laws that I know that Leon's grandma, you have cows and pigs or whatever, and I'm probably almost certain that a lot of the things that she does are already in here, because God set it up that way. God knows how to take care of the animals he created, so he put them in there and told this is how you should do it. Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty amazing to see how people. Now, yeah, there are some things that we blatantly go against, and we'll point those out too. You know, that we think that that's okay to do and it's not. So we'll get onto that too. But God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your word, God, and continue to open our hearts to your word, God, so that we could hear truth, Lord, that we can do the things that you've commanded us to do, not out of ritual or tradition, God, but out of respect and love for you. God, give us a zeal for your word continue to work in us, Lord. Continue to work in this church, God. And I pray for this community, Lord, that we'd be a light to them, Lord, that they could see through us how the living out of your word is supposed to be. God, we thank you and we love you, Lord. Yep. Just may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May he turn his countenance towards you. May he be gracious unto you. May he grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.